following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are right here in the studio, as always, on a Saturday morning, ready, willing, and able to take your calls. We'll be talking about all kinds of current events and what's going on in the market and the political arena that affects your pocketbook and stuff like that. So we'll be talking about all the things we want to talk about, unless, of course, you pick up the phone and say, "Hi, I'd rather talk about whatever it is." Just call 904-222-8255 or 222-TALK. Well, my gosh, we've been finding out lately that a lot of new people are listening to the show week after week, and I want to make sure we remember to thank our usuals, our return people, but I also want to say welcome to the show if you're new. Whether you just happened to find it on purpose or you got tired of something else that was going on at the same time or whatever, stick around for a while. We have a lot of fun. We cover a lot of interesting territory. I will pretty much promise you that you'll take something away from listening to the show that's useful for you in terms of your money. I can't think of a topic that affects a bigger percentage of people than their money.
Nope. Everyone has to deal with that.
Yep. Like it or not, it is the way it is. And speaking of your money, most of us have a little more of it this week than we did last week.
This is true. It was a really nice week. I predicted a wild ride this week, but I did not think it would just be in one direction.
No.
Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy about it. But the
I told you.
I thought that the
I'm
Fed,
so often right.
I thought that the Fed indecision not raising rates would cause a little bit more turmoil, because the market is so convinced. Actually, right now, the Fed futures are pricing in a 100% chance of a rate cut next month.
Yeah, well, remember what we said last week, both of us?
I think they're...
Will the Fed cut rates? No.
Yeah, I think they're about 95% wrong. But something, to me, something major has to change between now and next month. I just don't see it.
Well, you know, it's an obviously slowing economy.
But except for the part where there's no evidence of that.
it's just like Trump and collusion. You know he did it. There's just no evidence of it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I guess the national media opinion is now fact.
Well,
so,
you know, it's about time Krugman got listened to. And
sure.
Gundlach.
Sure.
It's nuts, folks.
It really is. There's just nothing out there. Inflation is happening, but it's very tame. It's right on the target, actually, or maybe slightly below. Mm-hmm. The whole job situation is just still amazing. There's still over a million more unfilled jobs than there are people looking for work right now.
First time unemployment claims jumped right back down to levels that, well, since 1969, we just haven't seen them week after week after week.
Yeah, it's so true. And then the only thing I think you could point to as a potential weakness right now is there is a little bit of a slowdown in the manufacturing sector, but that is 100% related to the trade negotiations that are ongoing. And I still think once that gets settled, and I believe it will get settled, that is going to be what propels the market higher, the economy to basically unleashes it. I mean, I think we're poised right there. It's doing really well without that. And if that happens,
did
look
you
out.
See that Mexico has now ratified the USMCA also, and Obrador sat there and just gushed about the whole deal right on public television.
Hmm.
And Trudeau was in the White House this week smiling. They've passed it. You know who's left to get this done?
Have a guess.
Somebody from the West Coast, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to get pressure from people like farmers, auto workers, so on. So many people will be impacted by this USMCA, and impacted meaning a very positive impact. There's going to be so much pressure on her, and it's going to just drive her nuts to give Trump a win.
It's really an unfortunate reality of today that making a good decision for the country is not a good political decision. So
isn't it?
Why are those things opposed? That's a system that, to me, is broken.
Term limits, man.
Yep. So, as I mentioned, it was a wild ride, but it was all up this week. Everything was up more than 2%, or at least all the major indexes were. The NASDAQ added 3%. The S&P was up 2.2%, and the Dow 2.4%. And we actually saw new all-time highs. So the bull market was extended on Thursday.
It's and official.
It pulled back a little bit on Friday after it looked like it was going to be a really good day.
Friday was the one day that should have been good, and it was just ho-hum.
It basically ended up flat to slightly down, but didn't really affect the weekly gains.
Let's see, on Wednesday the Fed says, okay, you guys are all wrong. We're not dropping rates. And Thursday we get one of the biggest days ever?
Yeah, weird.
It was a strange week. It was a lot of fun, though.
So for the month of June, the S&P is now up more than 7%, and for the year 2019, it's up almost 18%, so not too bad.
You know, it kind of makes you think we could just cruise for half a year or so.
Yeah, one interesting thing is that materials was the hottest sector in June, or has been so far, followed by technology, no surprise there. And utilities really lagged this week, followed by communication services. For the year, though, healthcare has risen the least on fears that of a government takeover or just kind of the general uncertainty around how healthcare will be paid for in the future. So healthcare, which has been kind of the shining star for the last 10 years, is looking a little bit weaker this year.
Undergoing a little sector rotation, perhaps.
But notable that it's still up about 8%. So it's not like it hasn't been done well. It just hasn't done as well as everything else.
No. Wow, if you're... Well, go back to our June 1st caller who had taken his money out of the market and asked if it was a good idea. I said I'd answer on December 1st in 6 months, and I won't answer whether or not it was a good idea till then. But I would suggest that so far, it's not looking that good.
Yeah, but if you remember last year around this time, we said the same thing, and last year didn't end that well, so we'll see.
That's why you never make snap decisions and never make short-term answers when they're based on long-term performance.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of 2018, I actually said I could see how this year would end up flat, or I can make a case for it going up a little or a lot, but I just don't see how it could go negative. And what happened? It ended up being negative. So you really can't predict these things.
Yeah, very interesting, isn't it?
Foreign markets have been generally positive in June as well, with Italy, Russia, Brazil, France, and China all up more than 7%. So, yes, helpful. Even China, despite everything, is up over 27% year to date.
And you know what that means?
They're expecting a deal.
Absolutely.
Russia is up almost 26% as well. So it's funny that everything I read there, all those names are the ones that are in the news consistently with a negative tilt to the news, but they're up the most this year.
And you know what happened here on Friday? We wound up not going to war with Iran, basically. Yeah. And all of Trump's competitors on the other side are so angry with him. They had their speeches all written about a warmongering, dangerous president he is, and he called it off, and they had to sit down and rewrite every one of those speeches right on the spot. How absolutely inconsiderate can one guy be? He's supposed to have bombed Iran and made life easy. Frankly, people, anybody who wishes for a conflict like that to start, you don't bother to come around and talk to me. People start dying a little too often. So, all in all, I think it was excellent news. I would see next week as a positive kickoff anyway.
We'll see what happens.
We will indeed. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with a lot to talk about, and we'll just take a quick break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handyman, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
So you need to find a plumber to replace your water heater. The question is, where are you going to look? Phone book? That got tossed in the recycling bin as soon as it hit your doorstep. Web search? Not unless you feel like sorting through an endless list of search results. And you're certainly not going to pay a subscription fee to get access to some list. What you need is someone to refer a local pro you can trust. What you need is home.homeadvisor.com. Home.homeadvisor.com gives you free access to a network of over 85,000 background check service professionals who have the expertise to help you with all your home repair and remodeling needs. It's the fast, free, and easy way to find top-rated local pros who've been rated and reviewed by homeowners like you. That's why over 25 million homeowners have trusted HomeAdvisor to find the quality home improvement professionals they're looking for. It's why you can, too. Visit home.homeadvisor.com to find the service pros who can bring your home improvement dreams to reality. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we will have a trivia question today, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. What is the average age at which Americans want to retire? This is from a recent survey by Go Banking Rates, which is a personal financial site. The average targeted retirement date for Americans. If this surprises anybody, I won't be surprised. Or should I say, if this doesn't surprise anybody, I'll be surprised. In other words, it might not be what you think.
Okay.
Okay. That's a nice way to put it.
I know I missed my target date by 10 years or so.
Oh, my God. I'm 20 past mine, I guess. Yeah. That's what happens when you get a late start.
So right before the break, we were talking about Iran. And I don't know if you noticed, but oil reacted to that little skirmish in the
not like it would have in the old days, though.
Nope, but it did move higher. There was a 5% day, and for June, it's up 8%. So the market definitely took notice. Oil had been dropping pretty steadily there for a while, and that's reversed.
Yeah, the gold market was hot also.
Yes, definitely.
Multi-year high.
Yeah, five-year high, up more than 8% in June.
Can't get the smile off my face.
Finally.
Finally, yes. I've been predicting this for 6 years, and by gosh, it came.
So silver also posted gains, more than 4% in June, still down for 2019, though. Mm-hmm. And the price of silver compared to the price of gold right now is way out of whack.
Way out of whack.
And silver is underpriced according to that historic measure. And
it's got to be one of two things,
or
two of two things.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be either or both. It can't be neither based on the long-term history.
Yep. And natural gas has been really
plummeting.
Down. Yeah, plummeting is a good word for it. Down almost 12% in the month of June and 25% year to date.
I've been watching oil go up and natural gas go down, and they're just crossed, like they're not in the same field.
Yep, very strange. Overall commodities are up, though, and they're actually at pretty low levels. So I'm not usually a big commodities fan, but right now I kind of like them.
Yeah, I do too, and I'm a little concerned about that big refinery fire in the Northeast going into the heavy driving season. That might cause a little pain at the pump, although we dropped 19 cents, I think, nationwide over the last few weeks. So we're really in good shape, both from a supply side and from a price standpoint. People driving on the roads are going to not experience too much pain at the pump unless something changes awfully fast.
And that's the beauty of energy independence.
Yes.
When we were 100% dependent on countries that didn't like us for oil, you saw huge swings in prices.
Yeah.
And now, relatively moderate.
Yeah, and that was around, 10, 11, 12 years ago, when any little thing would happen, boom, not anymore.
No, not at all.
It's a good thing.
The bond market was pretty positive this week. Also, yields fell. Prices went up. The bond market was up just under 1%. Tips gained 70 basis points. Somebody's expecting some inflation.
Somebody is, isn't it?
And
it's axiomatic that there has to be some.
Yeah. I mean, we all know it's been happening for the last 10, 12 years and just been underreported or for whatever reason hasn't been showing up in the data.
Look at things that look like the home builders. They're talking about what's happened to lumber in the last couple of years. 40%.
Right.
You know, I know you don't buy a house every day and you don't build a deck every day, but my gosh, those numbers go into the economy and they're going to keep revving things up. And I got a story about that here shortly about the Heritage Foundation, which is a pretty conservative outfit. And I've got two different stories by them. And one of them is a makes you love the place, and one of them is a makes you hate the place story. It's very interesting.
All right.
But I digress.
Just three more things I wanted to hit on before we get to that. The yield curve, still inverted. The 10-year is lower than the 3-month yield right now still, but it is flattening pretty quickly.
And the yield curve is like Paul Krugman. It's predicted 7 out of the last 4 recessions.
But it also has been inverted prior to all of the previous recessions, except for maybe one.
Because two things happen sequentially over the course of 6 months to 5 years does not prove any cause and effect.
No, but if you combine that with the other indicators, there are pretty good ways. I'm not saying that a recession is imminent. I think that the yield curve can predict a recession within 5 years, and I think that's probably a fair prediction right now.
I have a few stories, too, about people trying to make a recession happen.
I am definitely not trying to make anything happen.
No, no.
But it is something. It stayed inverted for more than 20 days, which is a significant amount of time.
It is a long time.
And it is flattening, so it's going away, returning to a normal curve. But just keep that in mind. The economic data this week was pretty light, but also pretty positive, except for one notable exception. The jobless claims came in at 216,000, keeping that trend alive. So no worries on the jobs front. Existing home sales came in up 2.5%, higher than they did in May. And the gain was across all regions in the U.S. So that's really positive.
That's really good.
Existing home prices are up 3.4% on average from a year ago, while sales are down 1.1%. Now, you might be concerned about that sales number, but most of that was due to lack of inventory, which is now coming back. So I think you'll see that number improve greatly with low interest rates and more inventory. And the one thing I mentioned that was not a good look was the New York Fed's Empire Manufacturing Report. It saw the biggest month-over-month drop in the history of the report, and it was 100% due to the trade tensions.
Yep.
So it was all in the New York region in manufacturing. It did not look good. It went from growing to shrinking, and so basically we need to get this thing worked out with China.
The only time we worry about statistics and numbers or whatever we're talking about is when it can't be explained, which is why last December, when the market started to plummet, we got a lot of calls from not only listeners but clients and said, what's going on? Do we need to do anything? And our response was exactly the same to everybody. Can you tell me why this is happening? And they would say, no. Can I tell you why it is happening? No. Therefore, the right thing to do is grin and bear it. If something's explainable, you make a conclusion drawn by the facts, the figures, and what you know. But if something is inexplicable, then chances are it's wrong. And what happened in January? It was proven to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. A bunch of worry about nothing.
Yep. Well, one thing it did, though, and this is something I've thought about a lot, because of that big fall in December, a lot of people's required minimum distributions are a lot lower this year, and that makes a lot of people pretty happy because a lot of people are forced to take out more than they actually want to take out.
And the other good thing is that your IRA balance right now, even if you did your distribution already, should be higher than where it ended last year.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was looking at a couple of those this morning, too. Fundamentally, I see no reason in the absence of Iran doing something much stupider or something along those lines, which is always a possibility and it always will be. I see no reason that this market can't just keep riding along, probably drifting a little higher, a couple new records.
Iran does not want a full-on war with the U.S. That is a bad idea for them.
Yeah, they certainly do not. And they know that the first thing we'd take out would be their oil refineries and such. The rial's down 60% since the sanctions have been put on, which means to the average Iranian, you go to the grocery store and everything's 60% more expensive. Now, that's not Venezuela, but it sure isn't a lot of fun either.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, if milk jumped from $5 a gallon to $7.50 or $8, we'd notice it.
Yeah, there is a real, real good piece of news for Venezuela, though. The inflation rate finally dropped under 1,000,000%. You know, the old saying, well, things are getting really expensive, but the good news is there's nothing for sale anyway.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's the old Zimbabwe story. The unfortunate bread costs $2,000 a loaf, but there isn't any.
Yeah, it's a sad situation down there, and I just hope they can get it sorted out.
Yeah, and you notice how it's gotten kind of quiet because other things have been taking over the news, but getting rid of this guy has got to be a high priority. It's very much like Iran. The younger people in places like Venezuela and Iran love Americans. They love the whole concept of freedom. And these idiots that are running the show, they've got to be thrown out. But they should be done by the inside, not from the outside. That's just my political philosophy. What can you say? All right. I mentioned that there are people who would really like to put us into recession, or at least it appears that way. My favorite headline of the week, Democratic bill aims to roll back tax cuts to help workers. Here it goes. It's very short. Two Democratic senators want to claw back some of the Republican tax law to create jobs for people who have been unemployed for a long period of time. Huh? Senators Ron Wyden, D, Oregon.
Shocking.
And Chris Van Hollen, D, Maryland, introduced the Long-Term Unemployment Act on Thursday. The bill would create a federal program designed to generate jobs for people who have been out of work for at least 6 months. The final round panel reacts to the news.
That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Well, I have many times on this program talked about Senator Wyden. And the only reason I don't talk about Van Hollen more is that he hardly says anything notable to the news.
That program would have been relevant 10 years ago.
Yeah, but very not possibly. Today. Yeah. Well, trust me when I tell you that these are a couple of mental bantamweights, even for the U.S. Senate. What would help the workers more? Would it be rich people creating jobs, or would it be the government creating jobs? I think I know. More on this when we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour, paying some bills.
Talk radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Cybersecurity firms say Iran has increased its offensive cyber attacks against U.S. government and critical infrastructure, even as tensions have grown between the two countries. CrowdStrike and FireEye, which normally track such activity, say in recent weeks, hackers believed to be working for the Iranian government have been targeting U.S. government agencies as well as sectors of the economy, including oil and gas, by sending waves of spear phishing emails. Iran has summoned the United Arab Emirates' top envoy to Tehran to protest the neighboring Arab nations allowing the U.S. to use a base there to launch a drone that Iran says entered its airspace. The report by the official IRNA news agency in Iran said that the country issued what it called a strong protest to the United Arab Emirates diplomat, saying Iran does not tolerate facilitating foreign influences that violate its territory. This is SRN News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle, and done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor, for crying out loud. Florida State License, CGC 1526479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
We'll see you bright and early Monday morning at 6 a.m. But before then, everybody have a good week. And Roger and myself, good Lord willing, will be ready to go beginning of the week. Medical marijuana, 225,000 people have signed up for it. I can't believe that.
And a lot of people are driving while high.
Yeah, driving while they're high. Can you dig that as well? Even here in Florida, give me a break. We'll talk about this and a lot of other issues coming up Monday morning, 6 to 9, right here. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
Mostly sunny and hot through Tuesday, looking for highs into the upper 90s, heat index up to 105. Mostly cloudy nights, lows 77. Also looking for a 50% chance of showers through the next weekend, and that heat will continue into the middle 90s.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question is still out there. What is the average targeted retirement age for Americans? In other words, at what age would they prefer to retire? And I'll take it plus or minus 1 year. So, I don't know. Some of you might be surprised. Maybe some of you won't be. Not really sure. Like so many things that we do, you know, we've been criticized by other show hosts and so on for doing trivia questions, but there's always a point. My thing when we started the show over 4.5 years ago was that I wanted to use them because I like talking to people and I like hearing what they have to say, partly because Ken Bales is so nice, he furnishes the prizes. That doesn't hurt.
That doesn't hurt.
No. But I like to learn things myself, and I like to have other people learn things. The term for that sort of thing is called order of magnitude. If you're a math guy, you understand what order of magnitude means. It's basically just the relative sizes of numbers or populations or whatever it is. And I got a few examples. Relative numbers such as a million having 6 zeros, a billion having 9 zeros, a trillion having 12 zeros. So a billion is 1,000 millions. And I remember G. Gordon Liddy would never use the term billion when he was talking about the government. He would only use 1,000 million because it was more personal to people.
Makes sense.
You can sort of picture $1 million, but you can't really picture $1 billion unless you've lived a little different life than we have. The Buffetts and the Gates and so on. But a trillion is a million millions. And I think that is an incomprehensible quantity of money. All right, another one. The economy itself. What is the size of this nation's economy? Well, it's about 19.3 trillion. So it would be 19.3 million millions.
Wow.
That is a lot of commerce, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is about 24.4% of the world's GDP. So we are approximately a quarter of all of the economic activity in this entire planet, and we're only a small fraction, like 4% of the people. So that gives you an idea of the value of what we do and the way we do it, which makes it more incomprehensible why people want to tear the system down. How about the size of a population? There are about 8 billion people in the world. Only about 330 million of them are here in the U.S. In the state, Florida, we have about 21 million, and the local area, Greater Jacksonville, is a bit more than 1 million. It gives you an idea of the order of magnitude of where we sit in Florida, what Florida means to the country and what the country means to the world. How about another one? Geographical distance between any two points. Well, in the lower 48 states, it ranges from about 2,800 to 3,200 miles from coast to coast. Okay, pretty good. And amount of time. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, years, decades, millennia. Those are order of magnitude. Financial market statistics, one of our concentrations, of course. The size of the U.S. stock market. You got an idea?
Total market cap?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's about 30 trillion.
Okay.
30 million million. We have gained, since the last election in 2016, about 7 trillion.
Wow.
That is a lot of money.
It is.
Where I come from. Or you can talk about the percentage of a population sharing a certain characteristic. So when I ask a trivia question, a lot of it, what I'm looking for is that you get an idea of the size of a situation, a problem, a question, or whatever, by understanding the order of magnitude of where we fit into the cosmos here. It's a little bit easier to make your own plans and hopefully benefit from the things that you can learn on this show. You can see what a single individual or a small business can be. You can get lost in the big scheme of things. But if you're thinking, for instance, of starting a business, you should have an idea of the order of magnitude of several things, including your potential market, And what do you want? How many people do you want to reach? What's your geographic spread? That sort of thing. And you get a better idea of how to do that if you know a little bit about how big things are. If you're going to dream, you can dream big, but if you're dreaming big locally, it doesn't have to be that big. That's the basics. It's like our little business. We don't spread our wings too far, and we're not trying to be a giant player. We just want to be solidly in the right population that we're in, and so far it goes well. So for all the people who criticize the show and say that trivia questions are crazy, I beg to differ. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I beg to differ, too.
Thank you. So you want to try one?
I do.
Good. What do you think?
I think 66.
Okay. I'm glad you said that, because that, to me, would be common sense, which means, of course, that it's wrong, because we're talking about a big population of Americans. No, you're too high, actually.
Oh, no, really?
My generation.
Well, yeah, you know, I want to retire at 40, but, you know.
Yeah, that's. We're talking about people actually planning to do this.
And yeah.
If they're not going to last at least till full Social Security age, then I wish them real success when they're younger, because that's the only way they're getting out of this.
They've got to at least last till early Social Security age, I would think.
At least you would think, wouldn't you? But I'm really, really glad you came up with that, because that makes my point just like I was talking about. We appreciate it. Any other questions we can help you with?
No, not today. Appreciate those.
Thanks for listening.
Great show.
Try again.
Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hang up. There you go.
That's like the dream call for the trivia question, isn't it? That was exactly the number I came up with.
In honor of the women's U.S. soccer team, who are just absolutely amazing. If you haven't been watching, you
kicking
need
button,
to watch.
Taking names.
They're so good. Yeah, those women are amazing. I wanted to bring up something.
Good.
So as of this year, women now make up 50.2% of the college-educated workforce in the United States, up from 45.1% in 2000. So women now occupy more college-educated jobs than men do, which is crazy. And you could see it coming, because women were attending college at a higher rate and getting advanced degrees at a higher rate. And so this article in MarketWatch did a really good job of pointing that out, but also pointed out the pay gap that exists. Well, the author then goes on to explain that the pay gap is largely due to things like taking off time or going into fields that don't pay as much as other fields. Women tend to not go into STEM, science, technology, engineering type things, and go into other areas that don't pay as well. And so she basically says that the pay gap is explained by factors other than people not paying a woman as much as a man, but then says what a shame it is that they don't pay them as much as a man. So it was kind of like, wait a second, what are you trying to say here?
So you should pay for something you're not getting.
Right, but the fact is that gap is going to disappear.
Of course it
really is. And it's about 98% gone already for the same job comparisons.
Yeah.
But
it's been the law of the land since 1963.
Yeah. And one of the reasons that the women's soccer team is so good relative to the rest of the world is that we started investing in women's sports here in the United States way before any other country.
Yeah.
And that is the product of the investment that the U.S. has made. So when you compare to other countries that don't support women's athletics, which is most of them, we're just so far ahead. And that has been a direct response to things like Title IX. So it works. It actually works.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, when Title IX came on the scene, it was kind of right out of the blue sky. What is this Title IX thing?
Right.
So you got a boys whatever team in a school.
You got to have
a girls one. So a lot of teams went under because they couldn't get the girls to participate in an equal level. And for a while, I thought it was grossly unfair. But then a strange thing happened. People started looking at all these female teams playing this, that, and the other sport. And they decided, aside from the WNBA, that they kind of liked it. I think I think basketball is going to be one of the exceptions. I don't know if those ladies can ever catch up to the big guys.
As far as revenue generated?
Yeah.
The women's exactly. soccer team has, actually.
Oh, their I believe
team
that.
Generates as much revenue as the men's team.
Yeah, I believe that. And I'm a little bit concerned, of course, about the transgender movement and how
we'll see
it's
what happens
impact.
With that. Yeah.
I don't want to see these girls get shafted. All right, a little more after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost $250,000 that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939 for your free CD. Call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're 2 payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands, and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
In this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance, give Troy a call at 662-9794. Reminder, the trivia question is still out there. What is the average targeted retirement age for Americans? And we know that 66 is too high. They don't want to stick it out very long. Did you want to wrap up, or should
nope.
we move along?
No, let's move along.
All right. I talked about the Heritage Foundation, a nice conservative group. I've been a proud member for a long time, and they got my goat the other day. And I'm glad they wrote a good one since then, because I've darn near cut them off. It says, Social Security benefits and the impact of the chained CPI. Economics time. Chained CPI will be on hold for just a moment because the person on hold is coming off hold. Good morning, Larry.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Van Wee Financial, I have no jive on world tour. Can I take a quick shot at your...
You certainly may.
50?
All right, that's too low.
Okay. Yep. Well, I helped somebody.
And, well, the artillery man has now put the bracket on it.
Oh, so. We got brackets. Okay, y'all be good.
All right, thanks, Larry.
Bye-bye.
That bracket, for those that may have missed it, is 51 to 65 because they said it'd go one... In
exactly.
either direction. So
yep.
somewhere in between those two is the answer.
Well, I'm awfully glad 50 was wrong.
Yeah. Because that would be a financial disaster.
I can't imagine. Now, if you were really, really good, you start your company and sell it for $1 billion, fine. But you're not a statistic then, or you are one, but it's the other kind. I'm talking about the order of magnitude here being the number of people who are in that generation, which is tens of millions.
Mm-hmm.
So... You take an average of all of them. All right, the chain CPI, Consumer Price Index, we have been using for many, many years the Consumer Price Index that is for what they call all urban consumers. Basically, it is I don't want to say fixed market basket of goods. It is an evolving market basket of goods. That is its own problem, and that's not for today. But... What they do is they measure the price people are actually paying for each of the goods in the market basket. We have another caller. Hang on, please. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning, sir.
You going to give it a try?
57.
Ooh, little low. But you're close. If close counts,
I'll get somebody in there anyway.
You've been honing in on them for a couple of weeks. Keep it up. You're going to hit one sooner or later, right?
I hear you.
Thank you, sir.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks. You too. With that, the regular all urban consumers CPI, you can complain about it all you want. It's what we use, so you got to have a gold standard somewhere. So along came an idea. A few. Years ago, and it's been talked about at great length, it's called the chained CPI. Now, what in the heck is a chained CPI?
It's a horrible idea is what it is.
That's what it is. You know how often I complain about truth in labeling in Washington, D.C.? This is an absolute classic. The chained CPI says that the regular CPI doesn't include behavior. Okay, a lot of things that don't, but a lot of things that do. But that in itself, to me, is a neutral statement, neither good nor bad, until you understand what it means. Let's say that I, as an older consumer, I might go on a fixed income with Social Security and so on, and from that point on, they say, well, if steak gets too expensive, you'll buy hamburger. And I say, you might have to do that. But I don't want to. But they don't care. They say that a reflection of the real cost of living takes into account the consumer behavior that would substitute ground beef for steak. Well, is that a technically accurate statement? Yes. Is it desirable? No.
Well, it misses the point of what the CPI is.
Yes.
The CPI is supposed to measure the cost of goods that you buy, not the consumer's willingness to switch between products. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Consumer preferences are a whole separate discussion. So along comes the Heritage Foundation a few days ago, and it's May 21st, actually. And it says there are more than 57 million Americans on Social Security right now, and that the benefits are indexed for inflation to protect beneficiaries against the loss of purchasing power as the prices of goods and services rise over time. Now, we were talking about things like lumber for home building going up 40% in a couple of years. Anybody who watches anything that you buy routinely, not commodity things so much that go up and down like gasoline, but what did your homeowner's insurance do? I just paid my new one.
Oh, it went up.
Yeah, about 12% for me.
Yeah, that's about
right.
In
a year.
Yep.
And think of other things that you buy. It can be anything from food to clothes or whatever. But a lot of things are going up really sharply. a lot of it is masked. If you go to the grocery store, you notice that the containers are lower and they're not filled as high, that sort of thing. The point is, the cost of living equally, not the cost of living well, the cost of living equally, month to month, year to year, is going up. And that is supposed to be reflected by the CPI, and Social Security makes its adjustments for it. Well, three out of the last 10 years, we didn't have an increase in Social Security. Last year, it was better, and it went up 2%. And if you think 2% covered the increase in your cost of living last year, you must be doing something better than I am. But now, the Heritage Foundation says that we will be better off using the change CPI because it is a more accurate index for calculating changes in the cost of living from inflation. All right, you just heard what triggers my blood pressure. When the Heritage Foundation says that the change CPI is a more accurate index for calculating changes in the cost of living, they have overstepped the bounds. They say many seniors fear that adopting this change CPI would cut their benefits and reduce their purchasing power, but in reality, Social Security benefits would continue to rise with inflation under a change CPI, and the COLAs would more accurately reflect the changes in cost of living than the current index does. Bull!
There is one group that would benefit from change CPI, and that group is the federal government.
That is exactly right.
Because what they are trying to do, and this is the only reason this concept even exists, yep, is they are trying to not increase their Social Security payments because they are running out of money and they have no way outside of political suicide changing Social Security to pay everyone. So that's what they want to do. They want to lower how much they increase it every year to the recipients. Yeah. And that's it.
And they obviously, by doing that, don't care if your standard of living, my standard of living, and the 57 million other Americans' standard of living goes down every year. No. They don't care. Because, let's face it, they're all getting rich, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
And they're getting their cost of living raises.
Social Security recipients are not, but they are.
But, you know, I hate to just stick my neck out and hypothesize or whatever I'm doing here about this being the case. So I have a second article from Money and Markets. And this one says, yeah, ready? Social Security buying power down 33% since 2000. Kaboom. QED, done, proven. If the using the regular CPI has cost us a third of our purchasing power since the year 2000, 19 piddly years, and they want to further cut it, is that going to make it go back up 33%?
No.
No. That is why the Heritage Organization and Steve had a little falling out recently.
That is so strange. There's no benefit to the people that they're supposed to be representing to write an article like that. That's crazy.
No. I got some other Social Security myths, too. Just a couple of them. It doesn't matter when I take Social Security. Sure it does. If I have a shorter than average life expectancy, I should claim early. If I claim early and invest some money, I'll come out ahead. I'm going to talk about all of them next week. I'll debunk a good share of those too. The average American wants to retire at 58 and a half. So, Leroy, you were half a year off.
Really
very close. Good guess. But my point is, what in the heck are you people thinking? You can't accumulate enough money by 58 and a half to live a good retirement when you can't even get Social Security until 62, and by then it's reduced almost 40%, and you're 10 years away from getting full, and it's going to change, it's going to go down. Think, people, think. Plan ahead. Sorry about that. I'll see you next week. Thanks. This is the Ben with Financial Hour.